Book of Luke, chapter 1. I just want to guide our thoughts briefly through a very short study in Luke 1 and Luke 2 and Matthew 1. We'll just hit on a few verses here. I think this service marks sort of the end of our special services for the holiday season. And we have spent time in the book of Luke, chapter 2 in particular. And I think you will find this study on the theme, Fear Not, to be helpful for your soul. It all started for me about a year and a half ago. It was a Sunday morning. A Sunday morning when we have breakfast, there's a lot of energy that needs to be expended over the next 4 or 5 hours. So we've got to tank up. And we usually have a pretty big breakfast on Sunday morning. Well, part of that is cold cereal. Not that that gives you immense amounts of energy, but it does do a little bit. So we have some cold cereal on Sunday morning. And this particular Sunday morning, I was, I think, munching down on some pretty soft cereal. And suddenly, there was something crunchy in my cereal. And I didn't know what it was, because there wasn't anything crunchy in the bowl when I started eating. Within a few moments, I realized the back molar on the left side on the bottom was missing half of the tooth. And it hurt. I don't like anything to do with teeth, except the eating part. But going to the dentist is really bad in my book. I don't like going to the dentist. I had a bad experience getting my wisdom teeth out, and ever since, it's not been fun. But I came to find out that I needed a crown on that tooth. And boy, wasn't I full of fear. Now, the procedure itself was relatively simple, and it went by so quickly, and everything went just fine. So there's really no reason to be afraid of the dentist, I guess. But I still am. And in a similar way, we are afraid of so many things. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of snakes. I'm raising my hand on that one. Some people are afraid of the dentist. Some people, though, seriously, are afraid of the future. I wonder what you're afraid of for 2024. Are you afraid of what may be dark or difficult or discouraging? Are you afraid of consequences of past decisions? I wonder if you are afraid of the conflicts that may come about. I wonder if you're afraid of what's around the bend that you just can't see, the unknown. I wonder if you're afraid of the conduct of other people, people close to you. I wonder if whatever you're afraid of, you can find help tonight in these simple words, fear not. God doesn't want us to be afraid. Have you ever noticed in the Christmas stories in the Bible that every time an angel appears, there are two words that come out of the angel's mouth? Fear not. There are four appearances of angels, and we're going to look at all four of them, starting with verse 13 in chapter 1 of the book of Luke. The very reasons that each of these people were instructed not to be afraid are the same reasons that we should not fear the future today. What does God say through an angel to Zacharias in verse 13? The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Can we take this simple point? God is listening to your prayers. Fear not. God's listening. He's hearing you. Don't be afraid. Now, Zacharias was there in the temple, and right beside the altar of incense, an angel appears. We know Zacharias and his wife longed to have a child, but no child had come. They were past years of childbearing. And yet God hears their prayer. I wonder if you are afraid that God just isn't listening to your prayers. For some reason, he hasn't answered the way you wished. It's either a wait or a no so far. And yet you're compelled to continue praying. Can I put this before you? God hears your prayers. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Paul wrote, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't stop praying. God is listening. God answered the prayers of Hagar. Hagar was an outcast. And you, I hope, are one of God's children. God's hearing your prayers. God heard the prayers of Hannah. God heard the prayers of Samson. God heard the prayers of Hezekiah. And countless millions of other prayers throughout history, God has heard and answered. And he hears you tonight, and he always will. Pour out your heart to the Lord. Don't be afraid. God is listening. Well, we find another angel appearing, and this time it's to Mary. Look down in verse 30. What does the angel say? Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. This word favor is our word charis in Greek. It's our word for grace or a gift. It's very common, used well over 100 times in the New Testament. This is the very first use. And God wants Mary to know, and God wants us to know, that he is looking on you with favor in Christ. God is looking on you with favor. He's looking on you positively. None of us is worthy of God's favor. We're all sinners. I wonder if you've come to terms with that. Though you are a sinner, in Christ, God can look on you with favor. Did you come tonight doubting that? Or never having experienced God's favor before? In Christ, God looks on you with favor. Are you afraid to come to God because of what you've done? You are, in yourself, unfavorable. But God would gladly extend his grace to you. This is God's character. We see when God appears to Moses. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And God wants you to know his forgiveness and his grace tonight and always. As you look forward to the future, you ought to know this. No matter what you've done, you can come back to the Lord. God loves to extend favor to sinners. Psalm 136, what's the repeated refrain? His mercy endureth forever. The Lord loves to extend mercy and grace. If you notice what's at the end and the beginning of nearly every New Testament epistle, this very word, grace. God loves to forgive. God loves to give grace. Well, for our next chronological appearance of an angel, we have to go to the book of Matthew. So would you turn to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew 1. There's a couple that no doubt is under a lot of stress. She is expecting, and he is not the dad. But Joseph gets a surprise appearance from an angel in verse 20. While he thought on these things, Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Why? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We'll read on. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's a threefold emphasis there on God is going to do something. For Joseph, God through the angel wants him to know, I'm working out my plans. I've got this under control. I have planned that there's going to be a son, and he's going to be a savior, and you'll call him Jesus, and all that will happen. And nothing calms Joseph more than to know this. God's got this. And nothing would calm your heart more than to know this. Whatever's going to happen in 2024, God's got it. He's working out his plans. He's got it under control. And none of us knows entirely what the future holds. It often seems like things are spinning out of control, doesn't it? Maybe out of our control, but not out of God's. Never out of God's hand. Do you ever wonder if that's really true? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. I bet he was wondering. But Joseph came to learn that God had this all planned out. Put yourself in Job's shoes. Boy, Job's life was turned upside down and everything was shaken out and then burned and gone. But Job still had God. And Job could say this, he performs the thing that is appointed for me. God had it under control. And boy, didn't it seem like things were really turned upside down for a pagan king named Nebuchadnezzar? Yet Daniel writes the words of Nebuchadnezzar under inspiration. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will. Do you hear that? He doeth according to his will. Where? In the army of heaven, all the angels. And among the inhabitants of the earth, every creature on earth. None can stay his hand. None can hold him back. None can say unto him, what doest thou? Nobody can charge God with a misstep. God does his plans. God wants you to know this tonight. Fear not. I've got it under control. Every moment of 2024, I've planned it out, and I'm going to do my will. There's one more appearance of an angel, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. A bunch of angels appear to shepherds. But before the host appears, one angel speaks. In verse 10 of Luke 2. The shepherds are there in the field. Angel appears and says unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God says essentially this, fear not, for I have provided salvation. There's a little baby that's born, and he's a Savior. And that is tidings of great joy. You know, our most serious fears are not connected, really, with the events of the future. Our most serious fears are connected with our fallen, sinful condition. If you really stand back and squint, that's how it looks to you when you're afraid. What do I mean? I mean like guilt. There is fear in guilt. when you feel guilty and you recognize the sin that you've committed outside of God's help, you have great reason to be afraid of his judgment. There is fear connected with the oppression or bondage of your sin nature. And outside of God's salvation, that sort of pressure, that squeezing, driving pressure of your flesh is cause for great fear. You cannot control it. The filth of your sins, the dirt that you know as a sinner you have, standing before a pure and holy God, that's reason for fear. The estrangement that you know from God, that you cannot come near to him as an unbeliever, apart from the work of Christ, that's a reason for fear. Judgment in hell for eternity, anybody that knows that fact ought to be afraid of it outside of Christ. Yet, the angel says, I bring you great news, good tidings, great joy. Behold, a Savior is born. And all of those fearful things are taken care of in Christ. What a wonderful blessing we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need a Savior to free us from our bondage, to clean us up, to bring us near to the Father, to cleanse us from our guilt, to take us to heaven. None but Christ can do that. Would anything bring more joy to a soul, more calm and peace to a soul, than the knowledge of a Savior, faith in him forever? God loves to provide salvation. Someone wrote, "Child of my love, fear not the unknown morrow. Dread not the new demand life makes of thee. Thine ignorance doth hold no cause for sorrow, for what thou knowest not is known to me. Thou canst not see today the hidden meaning of my command, but thou the light shall gain. Walk on in faith, upon my promise leaning, and as thou goest, all shall be made plain. One step thou seest, then go forth boldly. One step is far enough for faith to see. Take that, and thy next duty shall be told thee, for step by step thy God is leading thee. Stand not in fear, thine adversaries counting. Dare every peril save to disobey. Thou shalt march on, each obstacle surmounting, for I, the strong, shall open up the way. Therefore, go gladly to the task assigned thee, having my promise, needing nothing more than just to know where'er the future find thee. In all thy journeying, I go before." Don't be afraid of 2024. The Lord has it. The Lord saves. God will guide us every step of the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessing of considering your word together tonight, meditating extensively on your call to set aside fear. I pray that you would increase our faith, that you would guide our steps, that you would give us grace every step of the future. Please encourage us tonight.